Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. And I don't know about you, but the stomach is rumbling. The smells are already going around in my head of getting ready for tomorrow. And I know that they're the same for all of you out there. And if you're traveling, please be safe. Please take all the precautions you need to during these very weird times. And enjoy the holiday for sure. And if you do so, well, please take us with you. We'd love to enjoy family Thanksgiving with you, at least a trip there. You can leave us in the car once you get there, but at least take us and have a shotgun with you. As you know that you can do that when you download the Southern Sports Today app. You can get the show live if you're taking us in right now, or if you're taking us in later on the podcast. Either way, we appreciate your support of us here on the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today. I turned in the lineup card earlier. You know, it's one of those deals. To make a baseball reference here is before the game, both managers go to home plate, give the umpires their lineup card, all that. Well, turns out I got to make a late scratch. So Barrett Salee not going to be able to join us in the bottom of this hour. Instead, from our ESPN Jackson affiliate, Jake Wimberly. He's going to join us as he does afternoon drive out there to the west of us. So definitely looking forward to his visit. So before we get to Russ Mitchell and get to him, we got to give you some headlines.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
First headline, of course, got to be the largest one in all of college football. That is Nick Saban sidelined with COVID-19 positive test. Said to be mildly symptomatic right now and is in isolation. That means he's going to be out for Saturday's game of Alabama taking on Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Steve Sarkisian taking over for him this week. Now, if all goes according to plan with Saban's recovery and from the initial positive test now and everything else, the symptoms subsiding, the fever subsiding, all of that, Saban could come back December the 4th and be available for their currently final regular season scheduled game against Arkansas, which if things hold that way and they don't play that game against LSU, then they would have a couple of weeks before they come to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. So get well soon, coach. I know that a lot of people are pulling for him to do that and be back on the sidelines sooner rather than later. And it's never a good thing to hear whenever you hear that about anybody. So definitely thinking about coach and definitely praying for a safe and swift recovery for him. College football playoff rankings are out. Our next headline as Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide in at number one. Two through four are Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. Notables just outside of that four are at number five, Texas A&M. Number six, Florida. Cincinnati at 7, Northwestern at 8, Georgia at 9, and Miami at 10. BYU is 14th, and to round out those of the notables, at least in SEC country, Auburn at 22. And I know, you know, it's one of those things that a lot of people last night I saw on Twitter, very upset about Georgia's ranking right now with the two losses to Alabama and Florida, the way that they lost those games. And valid, I get it, but at the same time, though, too, I mean, you know, people were asking about Oklahoma. Oklahoma lost to Kansas State and to Iowa State early in the season. I get where Iowa State is now, but still, that Kansas State loss looks really bad for you right now. And, of course, you have the Indiana loss from last week. I think there's kind of still some skepticism about how great this Cinderella story is for Tom Allen's program there in the Big Ten. And they had the loss where it's one of those things that the score is not indicative of the game. Ohio State controlled that game, and they won that game. A strong comeback by Indiana, but still, down by 28 at one point, Ohio State had that game, and I think that that's probably playing into it a little bit as well. And look, whether people want to admit it or not, I'm sure that name brand recognition comes into it a little bit as well. So Georgia getting the benefit of the doubt in that regard. Next headline, Vanderbilt could turn to female soccer player Sarah Fuller to take over place-kicking duties this weekend when they head up to Columbia, Missouri and take on the Missouri Tigers. Derek Mason saying as much on a local Nashville radio station that Fuller is an option for them. And if she does play against Mizzou, it's believed that she will be the first woman to participate in a Power 5 football game. So that'll be interesting to see. Final headline before we get to Russ Mitchell here. Louisville head coach Scott Satterfield responding to a report that he's connected to the opening at South Carolina. Right now, Josh Kendall of The Athletic with the report. Satterfield issuing the following statement, quote, "While I am flattered my name was associated with another job, I have not pursued or sought out any offers. I am the head coach at the University of Louisville," end quote. That's not necessarily a surprising statement there. That's the statements that we usually get this time of year when, you know, it's one of those things that I think I've said before on here is that coaches themselves are, yes, they're not talking to these schools. But guess who is? Their agent is. And I'm not saying that's the case here, but that's the out for coaches whenever it's one of those things of people, "You said you'd never leave this school. You said you didn't talk to that school." Technically, they didn't. It was their agent was the one talking to them. But I have no reason to believe that Satterfield's not telling the truth here, because only in his second season, in a good job, in a conference that seemingly would be easier for him to compete in than the SEC right now, at least as well. I mean, when you're factoring in his own division, if he were to go over to South Carolina, having to try to play against and recruit against Georgia. I mean, in a way, you're already recruiting against them as is in the southeastern part of the country, but still, them, Florida, Tennessee still recruiting at a good level as well. And then, oh, by the way, in the state that you're in right now, Kentucky is also one as well. So seemingly a lot more competition for you there on that side than you have in the ACC. Satterfield in his second season with the Cardinals, 10-10 during his time, 7-8 in ACC play, 4-0 in bowl games. So at least he's got that going for him that time of the year. And he came to Louisville from Appalachian State. And those are your headlines. Did I just beat the music there? How about that? Hitting the post right there. That's what they call it in the radio term right there. When you make sure that you hit, and that's in music radio mostly, where it's one of those, if you hear your DJ leading up to a song and it's right to when the song gets going, it's called hitting the post. So I'll say that I hit the post right there. Maybe I got a future in music in music radio. I don't know. We'll see. But I like talking college football, and we're going to continue to do that next with Russ Mitchell of collegefootballnews.com, because if there's a man that's never short of an opinion about this game, it's our guy Russ.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
this coming Saturday when Alabama takes the field, I just completely didn't even think about this. It's going to have almost been 15 years since the Crimson Tide took the field without Nick Saban out there. And I know, again, I said it at the top of the show, I know people have a certain opinion of how we should approach COVID-19 and everything like that. Like I said, and I'll say it again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to tell people how they should or shouldn't feel about it. It's just one of those things that whenever somebody has a positive test, the first and really only reaction you should have is, oh my gosh, I hope they recover, and I hope that they recover soon. So I know that that's something that a lot of people feel about Nick Saban, and I really definitely do feel that way as well. If you're kind of dragging energy towards the Thanksgiving feast that awaits you tomorrow because work, all those things, the energy that needs to be expanded or expounded on to get you to that point, well, our next guest is going to make sure that that is not an issue for you, because he joins us every Wednesday here on the Chuck Oliver Show as well from collegefootballnews.com. He is Russ Mitchell. Russ, we can always count on you as an energy boost. You know that, right?
Let's kick some tires and light some fires, baby.
Right on cue. There he is. No Saban this week, as I've been talking about, and of course is the news this week. But football-wise, does it even matter?
It's the Iron Bowl, man. I mean, as important as Nick is to, obviously, the sport and the state and his team and all that, no. I mean, This is, on a positive level, and again, first and foremost, you hit the nail on the head. Obviously, everyone just hopes that Nick gets, that he's okay and that he recovers 100% and can get back on the field as quickly as possible. But in terms of how Auburn's been playing, I mean, the one thing that you could say if you're an Auburn fan is that Bo Nix has, you know, the offense is finally behaving the way it's supposed to. And Nix, you know, after failing to hit 50% of his passes, you know, in three of his first four games, he's hitting over 70% of his completions in the last three games. Now, I'll point out that was Ole Miss, LSU, and Tennessee, not Alabama. But if you're an Auburn fan, you hope that some of that accuracy that Nix has displayed in their last three games can carry over into the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, with Alabama, number one in the initial college football playoff rankings that came out last night. I know that a lot of people, whenever these come out, Russ, these emit certain responses. That team's way too high. Oh, my gosh, that team's way too low. Well, they haven't played anybody, so they deserve to be in that spot. Any real issues with the rankings?
I thought Georgia was a little too high. My friend Barrett Salee also pointed out, I would agree, I think BYU is a little too low. But look, man, it's 2020. I'm just happy that we have football. I'm happy there's football on that we can watch. And, you know, it's funny because everybody's up in arms about how the SEC is, you know, like throwing all the names in the hat and, you know, figuring out the schedule week to week. They told us this back in August. They said the key to this season was going to be flexibility. So, you know, I don't care. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I have faith in the committee putting the top four teams as they see them out. And, you know, the rest of us can watch bowl games. And, you know, I'm just, again, excited that there's football to watch.
Well, I mean, it's also, though, too, Russ, I mean, maybe you disagree with me on this, but it seems like the last few years it's only really been three teams that matter. Like last year, did anybody necessarily believe that Oklahoma had a shot against LSU? No. But at least the other game, we felt like, okay, that's a close matchup there. That can go either way between Clemson and Ohio State. And sure enough, it went out to bear.
Yeah, and I was at that game. You know, if they played another series, it could have gone the other way with Ohio State winning. I really, really wish that the committee would use this season as an opportunity to add a few more teams. With so much, with so much difference in how the various conferences are playing and the number of games that they're playing, with so much that's not the same, this is a perfect example opportunity to expand to 8 and just bring some more teams in and make sure that it would be more exciting, you know, to have more games. And I wish we did that, but it doesn't seem we're going to. We're just going to stick with the 4.
Russ Mitchell, College Football News, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck this week. I talked about it a little bit earlier. Go ahead. Yeah, please.
I'm just going to interrupt. I know. I'm sorry you got another question. But no. I would with how well Cincinnati's playing right now and how well BYU. I mean, BYU is a really good football team this year. And I would love to see BYU play Notre Dame. I'd love to see Cincinnati play Ohio State. Oh, my goodness. I would love to see Sickle and Cincinnati play Ohio State. That would be fantastic. You know, this is the perfect opportunity to bring those programs in to the playoff hunt.
Well, let's take the boat in that direction right there, because I want to get the creative juices going here, Russ. BYU, they've got an open date on December the 5th. You know who else has an open date on December the 5th? Luke Fickell in Cincinnati.
I know.
You picking up that phone if you're either school?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you should. You really should, because then it's sort of like, you remember when it was, wasn't it TCU and Baylor?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and they sort of split the vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, BYU and Cincinnati are splitting the vote, and it makes it easier for the committee to overlook them. But if they actually played in a de facto playoff game, and one of them won, especially if one of them won convincingly, it would be almost impossible to leave them out. Now, of course, they will, because as we've been saying on the show forever, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
To you at home, it's not a business because you're a fan, but it's a multi-billion-dollar-a-year business, and they're going to want to get the best brands into the playoffs so they can get the most eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, you know, I would love to see an 8. This year of all years, I'd love to see it expand to an 8 team. And, you know, I'd like to see a Pac-12 team, you know, maybe it just because they haven't played enough games. If you're looking at them, if you think Oregon is good enough, I'd love to see them in there. Let them get beaten, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is I tell people all the time where it kind of is almost a comparison, Russ, to the NCAA tournament. Where, yeah, we like Cinderella, but we like them to a certain point. Like, we don't necessarily want to see Cinderella make it all the way to the Final Four, especially if you bought tickets to that Final Four. And then you see that team win and go to the title game on Monday, because let's be honest here. I mean, yeah, in college basketball, Duke versus Kansas is a lot more fun than Duke playing against Butler.
Yeah, and keep in mind, yes, I agree. You know, I think that, and we're not talking about Santa Clara versus Arizona. You know, we're talking about one playing 8, or in this case, really like one playing 5. You know, you're talking about using that bracket analogy. These are teams that deserve the chance to play, whether it's Cincinnati with how well they've played so far this year, BYU with the dynamic offense that they've had. These are teams that represent their divisions of division, you know, what is basically Division I college football, and they deserve to play in our sports championship. And to exclude them, particularly in a year like this one, is, I think, damaging to the sport for, you know, 20 years now.
No, I hear you, man. Well, as much college football as we can get, that's what we want. And as much Russ Mitchell as we can get, we want that as well. Russ, appreciate your time as always, buddy. Have a great Thanksgiving. Let's do it again next week.
Keep an eye on Auburn, man. I obviously Alabama is the favorite to win, but I expect Auburn to come out guns blazing. I expect them to maybe even have the lead heading into halftime.
Interesting. Might hold you to that, Russ. Russ, appreciate your time as always. We'll talk to you next week. All right, buddy?
Take care, brother. Bye.
All right. Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Wednesday with Jake Wimberly.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats.
Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show, the Wednesday before we all get after it at the Thanksgiving table. If you're doing so, if you're traveling, please be safe and make sure you get there and enjoy the time with your family. All right, so a man that we always love to have on this program, Afternoon Drive host on ESPN Radio 105.9 in Jackson, Mississippi, a man who can cover it all when it comes to college football. He is Jake Wimberly. Jake, appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you so much for stepping in on such short notice today. The Thanksgiving feast. What is in the Wimberly household the dish that has to be on the table?
Well, Dan, hey, anything for you, my friend. I'm glad to be on here with you. And if I had to have anything, let's just pick, you know, three. I've got to go deviled eggs. Deviled egg nuts. I got to have deviled eggs. I can eat those any time of the year. I got to go ham or turkey, probably, you know, maybe a little mixture. But I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of get hammed and turkeyed out after about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then I got to have a string bean casserole. But Dan, what we've started doing, which a lot of people do, is we will do, because we'll do multiple days, like tomorrow we'll do a small day and have my brother in on Saturday. We may do catfish or we may do steaks on Saturday. So we'll change it up a little bit.
So there's going to be good eating and happening inside the Wimberly house. That's what we know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've got to watch out for that 7-pound curve coming.
There we go. No, very much, especially, too, you know, you get that that late-night sandwich on Thanksgiving as well, especially if it's a home game for you. So those are all the things that you have to keep in mind. Jake Wimberly, again, joining us from ESPN 105.9 in Jackson, Mississippi. Jake, Georgia at number 9, the initial college football playoff rankings. A lot of people don't like it. I know that Gary Barta gave his reasoning for it, but I laid out the scenario for other teams as well. In terms of Georgia, though, I mean, is it one of those that it's name brand recognition that's winning out here?
Probably so. Name brand recognition. And when you look at Georgia, I mean, they've been, you know, in the conversation for the last several years as far as a top college football playoff team. And then you look at the two losses. I mean, Florida and Alabama, I mean, that's the two top teams in the SEC. So, I mean, high-end strength of schedule. I think for my projector poll, I had them in the top 10 as well, 8 or 9. So that's kind of where they fell. And I took a lot of, you know, crap about that on Facebook. But for me, it's strength of schedule, name recognition, brand. And, you know, I mean, obviously Georgia's not going to make the playoff, but inside the top 10, I mean, you could definitely see Georgia in a New Year's 6 day scenario.
Yeah, and, you know, just with how everything has gone with them, and you mentioned the analytics there, if you don't follow Jake on Twitter, do so at Jake Wim, and also to his website, cfbhourglass.com, like we talked about yesterday with Dave Bartoon, we do every Tuesday. Well, that's the type of work that Jake is doing over there on that website, so go in for a deep dive of the numbers. Texas A&M, they got a shot, or you think they're gonna trip up along the way?
I don't think they have a shot, and here's the deal. You know, again, I had Florida in that 5 spot, Texas A&M in the 6 spot, or, you know, flip-flop from where the college football playoff had them, and a lot of people will say, well, you know, what about the head-to-head matchup? Well, the head-to-head matchup matters, but, again, let's think about the college football playoff and how this thing would play out. If Florida wins, Florida's in. There's not a scenario, unless Alabama drops a couple, and that's highly unlikely, and then Florida's still, you know, there's a lot for Texas A&M that has to happen for them to get in this thing. And for Florida, it's pretty simple, pretty cut and dry. You win and you're in. So, I think really when you look at it, what's going to happen is if everything kind of stays chalk as we go forward, you will see when the SEC title game gets here, Florida will jump Texas A&M by virtue of winning the East and playing in that ballgame.
Yeah, and, you know, as we go over to the ACC, we've got a really big one on Friday between Notre Dame and North Carolina. I talked with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, about it a little bit earlier. And Notre Dame is a team, I mean, it's so funny with them, Jake, isn't it, that it seems like they emit one response or the other from people. It's either, let's go Irish, or, oh my gosh, I hate Notre Dame. But then I tell the people who say, I hate Notre Dame, well, then it seems like there's not enough of you because people can't get enough of watching them on TV. They getting in the Final Four when it's all said and done?
You know, I think so, probably so. And it's funny you mention that because it doesn't matter, Dan, what state that you step in. I mean, right here in the state of Mississippi, people are very candid. They either like Notre Dame or they don't. And that's anywhere that you go. But I think probably so. I think what you're going to see is, let's just play this out. Let's say Alabama wins the SEC and then Ohio State wins the ACC. And even Clemson, if they win, I mean, the committee is not going to – I would find it hard to believe that they would drop a one-loss Notre Dame out of this. And I said the other – you know, several weeks ago when they beat Clemson, the worst thing that ever happened this year for the committee was Notre Dame to beat Clemson, because now Notre Dame just about will not, unless they drop another one. Let's just say they lose this weekend, get upset Friday by North Carolina, then lose to Clemson, then, yeah, the committee will probably push them out. But if Notre Dame runs the table, loses to Clemson, they're in.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I know that a lot of people saying, well, then it's another chance for Notre Dame to get embarrassed by Alabama or by Clemson. And here's the thing that I've been telling people all year long, Jake, is number one, I think this is Brian Kelly's best team that he's had. And number two, this isn't the same old Notre Dame where they don't have as good of athletes as the other team. At least defensively, I think they do have as good of athletes as other teams.
Look, when I ran, and you know, not all numbers are true. We know that, and Dave Bartu will tell you this. I know Dave personally. If you think that your models are all correct, then they're probably very wrong. You have to have some head scratching going on. When I ran my numbers back in March and did my initial preseason poll, we'll drop that every year, March, April, right there around the Final Four. I had Notre Dame as my number four team in the power rankings, and I really went to look at it and say, okay, why does the numbers point to this? And you referenced, I mean, returning quarterback play that's pretty solid. Coaching staff's really good. Defense going to be really good. High-end recruiter. So they check all the boxes. And so far, this team has you know, they have dialed that in and met those expectations. I had them at number four. I think this is probably, as you said, the best team Brian Kelly has had since he's been there.
Yeah, you know, just the way that this season has gone, I mean, it's one of those things that I think if you look at it in a traditional sense, then yeah, a lot of things don't make sense. But in terms of the way things have gone for Notre Dame, I mean, he's been able to point that team in the right direction. There's no doubt about that. Jake Wimberly from The Zone 105.9 in Jackson, Mississippi, our great affiliate out there. You can listen to him every weekday on Afternoon Drive 3-6 out to the West. And, you know, talked with someone earlier about BYU. And people have pointed out on Twitter, Jake, that December the 5th is an open date for both them and for Cincinnati. If you're either AD, you picking up the phone, you making that call. But from the Cincinnati side of it, if you're Luke Fickell, do you necessarily want that, especially with where you sit at number 7?
You know, that's a great question for both teams. It's totally different scenarios for both teams. Cincinnati was another team that I had pegged really, really high. I had them going undefeated back in March, going to the Fiesta Bowl. I didn't think that they, you know, would have the resume to make it in. But when you look at Cincinnati, they have a really strong schedule now. And look, for these groups of five teams, yes, for Cincinnati, it doesn't make sense to take that matchup. But from a group of five standpoint, considering we've never had a group of five team in, would love to see one get in there. Just to see what might or might not happen. I think it makes sense for them to take it. For BYU, they definitely, when you look at their schedule, the strength of schedule is really what's going to kill them in the end. I mean, high-end quarterback, really good team, really solid. They've destroyed everybody they've played. So, you know, I would love to see that. I would love to see this matchup between Cincinnati and BYU, but I doubt we see that happen.
Jake Wimberly joining us again here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Steve Sarkisian, we've talked about him all day because of obviously the news with Nick Saban and his COVID-19 positive test. One game, I know, but still, he goes out there and he has a great performance, and it looks like, hey, all right, continue, you know, really thinking about the circumstances. He got this team ready. They made the adjustments. They dominated. They played well, did all those different types of things. Does he rise up on the boards for a lot of people in terms of the openings we see in college football?
I think so, and I think you'll probably see that scenario. I mean, Steve Sarkisian, let's remember, it wasn't necessarily his coaching that got him to where he is today. It was off-the-field type stuff and you know, not coaching stuff, much like Hugh Freeze. But when you look at Sarkisian, I think absolutely it puts him up on a different level. I mean, Mississippi State, there was rumors that there was some serious conversation there before Mike Leach was hired. I think Sarkisian has probably had several of those conversations. But, yeah, I mean, if he goes out this weekend and dominates as a head football coach against Auburn, which is highly likely. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think that definitely just puts him at another level as South Carolina looks for a coach, as possibly some other teams look for coaches this year as well.
Huge week in your state, Egg Bowl week, as Mississippi State, strong performance last week, coming up just short against Georgia. Ole Miss off because of COVID issues, and now they get back on the field in Oxford and play against each other. Can the Bulldogs carry that momentum into Oxford?
You know, I think so. I've been saying all week this week on my show, I think Ole Miss wins, State covers. That game started out around 11.5 to 12-point spread. That game moved to 10 yesterday. I haven't checked the line today if it's moved at all. But some money coming in on Mississippi State after that performance against Georgia. A lot of people will play the point total over 67.5 just because Ole Miss scores the ball so well, and then their defense does not protect well, and State looks better. Look, Mike Leach has found some players I think we saw last week. He went younger that have bought into what he's trying to do. Now, that's going to be a serious buy-in for the long haul for this to be successful. But, yeah, I think Mississippi State's got a puncher's chance. They're going to have to play clean. They can't turn the ball over. You know, they're going to have to depend on the freshman, Will Rogers, to continue to protect the football. And then they're going to have to find a way to slow Ole Miss down just a little bit because Lane Kiffin's going to find a way to put points on the board. I think this is probably an Ole Miss win. It's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of probably a 37 to 27 type of ball game.
And for this year, just in general, you know, it's one of the things that this time of year, it's either you're in bowl contention, you know, do you play guys, burn that red shirt, or put them up against that four-game threshold? I mean, a lot of those things are kind of out the window. But we see this more in baseball, Jake, where when it comes to September and a team is out of contention for October, they start to play a lot of their young guys they bring up as part of their call-ups. In a way, if you're a college head coach, do you start to kind of do that with the final two, three-game stretch that some of these teams are going to face, mainly from the quarterback position, with, like, at the school that you follow very closely, Mississippi State? We saw what Will Rogers can do. Give him a shot. Really show what he can do. Tennessee, Harrison Bailey, what can he do? Let's figure out what he can do. Go from there. South Carolina, Luke Doty, on down the line. I mean, are you doing that for these schools?
Absolutely. I think you are, especially, like you said, considering the circumstances, and you don't have to worry about burning red shirts and burning eligibility this year due to the, you know, the NCAA rules that they put in place for this year. I think you definitely will see that happen. Again, we've seen that happen in Starkville. Only six seniors started last week against Georgia, so Mississippi State is going extremely young. I think you're going to see what I would call it basically is an on-field curtain call, kind of a business tryout, an interview, job interview, shall we say. So, yeah, I definitely think you'll see that. And you know what coaches are going to have to continue to battle against, too, is are their teams checking out? Are they getting a little more lax as far as the way they're protecting themselves with COVID-19? And I mean, because that thing's not going away anytime soon. So, you know, the higher-end teams that are still in contention, they're going to be more dialed in, you know, mentally to protect themselves. Coaches with teams with not much to play for other than a bowl game, you're going to have to, you know, continue, I think, to pound that in their head is, hey, look, you know, we still have a ball left to play. We still have positions that we're fighting for. You're fighting for your position. You may want to take care of yourself and protect from COVID while you're, you know, trying to get ready for the next game.
Well, Jake, really appreciate you joining us today. I mean, all those food options, you're already making me hungry. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm already to tomorrow, and, I mean, the deviled eggs. I mean, you're talking about the appetizers out there and then the main courses, everything. I mean, you almost sound like an episode of Below Deck, if I'm being honest.
Well, Dan, hey, look, I couldn't be on the show, but I can definitely eat like I'm on any kind of eating show.
There you go.
And look, hey, I hope you and Chuck, give my best to Chuck. You guys have a great Thanksgiving, and I always appreciate you guys.
Hey, same to you, Jake. Always the best. Appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Jake Wimberly, The Zone 105.9 in Jackson, Mississippi, and a lot of things talked about. I mean, especially to that last one right there, where it's one of the things that 2020, if you're thinking conventionally about your football team, then you're doing it wrong, because this year, more than any other, has proven that conventional thinking needs to turn unconventional, because this is a completely unconventional season. And if you're those programs and you've got these young quarterbacks, we've seen it at so many different programs where they've got the young guy. They've got somebody that then you'll get some of the fan base saying, hey, give this guy a shot. And I know that you can't coach by what the fans say, but this is really a chance for you where you can avoid the possibility. And it's no guarantee. These guys might get in there and play and then realize what the next coach that comes in at South Carolina, for example, if Luke Doty gets out there and plays well, then the next coach that comes in doesn't fit his style. And he says, yeah, I can't stay here. See ya. I'm out of here. Or if you're in a situation like, I don't think that Jeremy Pruitt's going to get bounced at Tennessee. So Harrison Bailey deserves every single chance if he's ready to get out there to play. Same deal with Mike Leach. He's not going anywhere. And we saw what Will Rogers did last week. So when you got a chance to plan for the future and the free reign is there and the opportunity is there, go for it. Because guess what? It doesn't happen all that often, especially in major Power 5 college football. All right, coming up next, closing argument here to get us out of here before the Thanksgiving celebration gets going. And with last night's rankings and the emotions and responses that came from it, if you're really angry right now, don't. I'll explain it even more right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck, closing it out on a Wednesday right here at Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Last few minutes here on a Wednesday, Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. Reminder, John Michaels going to be with you here on Friday. A best of for you tomorrow here on the program. So you've got those to look forward to while you digest a delicious meal tomorrow. I'm already looking forward to it. The turkey, the gravy, which for years at our Thanksgivings, we never had the gravy, which I know a lot of people are going to say, how is that even possible? But we just didn't. And then my brother married very wisely, and Jamie, his wife, my sister-in-law, started to institute the gravy. And our Thanksgiving this year is on their turf. It's an away game for us. So it's going to be a great meal. Going to have that. Going to have the cream corn, the cream peas. That's always a favorite of mine. I know a lot of people like the green bean casserole. I don't know. I feel like that just takes up too much space on the plate, because that's what I also run into as well. I mean, I get that there's a piling aspect here and all these different types of things, but I think I look at it, I think I'm scarred from a few years ago of going to the LSU baseball camp, and they told us ad nauseum, don't put too much food on your plate, because we were staying at a hotel, we had a buffet, all that kind of stuff going on. They said, don't eat more than you can take. You know, a lot of work goes into this. We don't just want to waste food, do all that kind of stuff. So it kind of stuck in my mind where it was, don't take more than you're going to eat. So it's always one of those. I just remember the coach up there at the orientation for the camp saying, hey, look, you can go back, all right? but then you throw it away, you're just wasting someone's good work. So that's one of the things that I've always subscribed to. All right, right now, let's get into a closing argument to close out the week.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
With offices in Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, basically anywhere you hear this show, you hear and can find the great folks at Alexander Shannara and Associates. So last night, with the college football playoff rankings coming out, a lot of people looking immediately at the final four that they have there, or I guess in this case, the initial four, because it's not the final one. The final one's going to come in the middle of December, but the initial four of Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. No real issues there. I mean, maybe some people, myself, thinking that Texas A&M had a chance at 5-1 to jump in front of Ohio State, because I said Ohio State necessarily hadn't even played anybody yet. And I know that that's always the argument that's thrown out there of, well, you know, hey, these people haven't played anybody. But in their case, you know, I know that they had the win last week against Indiana, and that's the one that probably put them in front. But the one that seemingly got everybody, and I just really don't understand, and I just kind of feel like in the age of Twitter, that we just find things that make us angry just so we can let the people know, well, I'm so angry about this. I'm so annoyed. And if I'm so annoyed, then you should join me too. And if not, then you're stupid. And we're going to ratio you, and we're going to do all these different types of things. Ratioing is when somebody gets more responses than they get likes or retweets or anything like that. For those of you that don't know how the Twitter game goes, I'm kind of a novice myself. I always have to rely on Chris Marler for that. But for Georgia, it just doesn't matter. It's more of a placeholder. And it's also, too, if nothing else, it's a hat tip of you're a name brand. Yeah, you went to Alabama and you got beat, and you got beat pretty soundly. Okay, that happens. You got beat by Florida. Same deal. That happens. Number one and number six teams in the country right now. You got that win over Auburn, and we heard Gary Barta say as much. But who else are you necessarily putting in that spot? Miami? I think kind of with Miami, it's kind of a wait and see of when does the shoe drop for them and when do they become what we've seen in recent years of Miami. Oklahoma, if you're going to punish teams for losses and you're going to punish teams for not playing enough good opponents on their schedule, I mean, I get it. Oklahoma beat Texas. It's a good win for them. A good win last weekend over Oklahoma State, who maybe was ranked a little bit higher than people should have had them in the first place. But that's not Oklahoma's problem. That's Oklahoma State's problem. That's the problem of the people who put them in that position. But that loss to Kansas State looks so bad right now. And the fact that you had it, and I get it, it was the first week of the season, and I've excused it for other programs, but it's still Kansas State the way that this season has played out. And I can't put you in front of a team that has a win like Georgia has over Auburn in front of you right now. Indiana, some people might say, sure, why not? But it's also, too, as well, name brand does come into this, whether the committee wants to outwardly admit it or not. And deep down, you know that that's the case. Because, like I said with Russ Mitchell, people might say they like to see the upsets and they like to see Cinderella and all that kind of stuff. You know what I like to see, and most of you deep down like to see? Cinderella maybe make it to the Sweet 16, but then Cinderella gets absolutely smashed by Michigan State or somebody else that we actually do care about watching in the NCAA tournament. And same can be applied to the college football playoff, because we want the name brands there in the Final Four at the end of the season. That's my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. I've had a blast these last 3 days. I hope you have as well. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully everybody has a great Thanksgiving holiday. John Michaels in for the King on Friday. Dan Matthews enjoyed the week with you for the last 3 days. Want to thank David. Want to thank Matt. Want to thank everybody who makes this show what it is. And, of course, want to thank you, the listeners, right here on The Chuck Oliver Show, part of Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.